Easter's a time to step up your game, right? Does your church do anything different on Easter Sunday? It's easy to get swept away by all the possibilities on Easter Sunday, but it's important to remember to know who you are as a church and find a way to stay true to that. We're talking about staying in your lane on today's episode. Plus, we'll get to a listener question.
Hey there, church communicators. It is episode 4 of this season of the Church Juice Podcast. I'm Brian Haley, the producer of Church Juice, and I'm joined in studio with my co-host, Josh Rickard.
Hello.
In today's episode, we'll be joined via Skype by special guest, Matthew Hooper. We are here to help you energize your church communications.
So today, we're joined via Skype by Matthew Hooper. Matthew is the pastor of youth and outreach at Weedville Wesleyan. Matthew, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's start off with a tough one. We've used the same question for everyone that's been on the podcast so far, so I've got to ask you the same thing. What is your favorite Easter memory?
Yeah, my favorite Easter memory is honestly from my last church, and this is part of what I'll be talking about with you guys, just because of how much every time I look back, the more I think about it, how much of a hot mess it honestly was. It was one of those things where it's like, all right, when we're doing it, we got excited for it, and we thought it was awesome. And the more you look back, it's like, oh, this wasn't good at all. I'm amazed no one actually told me that at all. We kept going with the whole, we got to go big or go home. We saw, I think it was Hillsong, did this awesome thing where they had like 16 drummers come out part of this one song. And we had two drummers, and I had done some drumming. So I'm like, well, that gives us three drummers. And like, we're confident we could train two or three more people to just play one drum. And so we figured out how to do this. There was warning signs the whole way through. This was probably a bad idea, but we went for it. And it's my favorite memory because it's like, that was one of those things you should have got with the warning signs and did not do.
Nice.
Multiple drummers on stage. Yeah, I could see that being a warning sign.
Easily.
So let's just talk about your church a little bit, Matthew. Tell us what happens at Weedville around Eastern time for you guys.
For us, we're rural, like really rural. Our town only has 600 people. Our town actually loves what we do for Easter because we go from a town of 600 to 1,400 in one weekend because we bring in people like crazy for Easter. But it's because we don't focus on our Easter service. We focus on our Easter outreach. So we do this massive Easter egg hunt. We're about, last year we ran over 800. We're not even sure what it is. We just started losing count at 800. I'm going to have to get three people with clickers this year to get a better count. Mm-hmm. But then for the Easter service, we keep it simple because we recognize we're in rural. And while we have the ability, we could probably go bigger. Anybody that's coming, we recognize this is probably the first time they've been in church for a while, or this is their usual Sunday that they'll try church out.
Right.
So we just go basic. We might add an extra special. We'll add a few extra flowers, but we don't want to do anything really more than what they would find the next week if they actually come. And we don't want to shock them by, like, I haven't been here in church for 20 years. They come up this Sunday and they're like, well, this isn't what I remember of church.
Right.
So we want to keep it pretty basic. And it's not what I would normally suggest or think, but the more I've gotten into rural ministry, the more it's like, no, this is definitely the better approach.
So knowing who you guys are as a rural church, how do you battle with wanting to up the game at Easter and then remaining true to who you are as a church and as a congregation?
It's pretty much whenever we go somewhere, we usually go to Exponential every year. I'm actually missing it this year. And we'll see the big LED screens. We'll see all that. And we're like, oh, it'd be awesome. And we usually start talking. It's like, we should do this at Easter because that'd be your big kickoff time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And every year we start pulling it back in. And it's like, no, we don't do LEDs. We don't do all this kind of stuff. We'll usually have the conversation. It's like, if we're lining up to launch a series at Easter, maybe we'll go a bit bigger because then we can carry it over for several weeks.
Right.
But if it's just Easter, because depending on how the series line up, we might take a break and it's just the 2 weeks of Easter. We keep it simple because we just continually remind ourselves, we have a bunch of farmers, we have a bunch of factory workers. All that lights and glamour going really big for Easter does nothing for them. This is usually the time when we'll get guys coming in. That's the only 2 weeks we'll see them all year. And so what we push more is maybe getting a few extra people up on stage that aren't normally there. So maybe we'll get an extra person doing prayer instead of doing the pastor, because this helps communicate for us the plug-in. How are you going to do something the next day? How are you going to plug into a small group? And it's just become a lot more recognizing in the rural area. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants community.
Right.
And that's probably true everywhere else, but rural areas, it's really weird because they have this mentality of it's still like the Waltons. Mm-hmm. Everybody still thinks we're in the Waltons, but nobody's living it. So when you can pitch community to them and show them that, it naturally resonates and they want to plug back into it.
Interesting.
Even though nothing else in their life does that.
Right.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So we've talked a little bit about kind of like staying in your lane. And so what would you say for your church specifically is staying in your lane, and kind of what does that look like for you guys?
A lot of it, it's recognizing where our priorities are. We adopted our elementary school about 2 years ago. It's right next door. I don't know why we didn't do it earlier. Mm-hmm. And so it was part of our whole kids strategy. We've been revamping our kids ministry to make sure it's where we want it at. And if you ask anybody in the town, once they figure out which church we are, because sometimes they confuse which name goes with which one, they will say this is the church that cares about kids the most. So when we're planning through what our Easter has to be, the question immediately comes to the front, what are we doing for kids?
Interesting.
Because that's one of our big lanes. And the other one is just reminding ourselves again, we're rural. Going big doesn't make sense. If we really push it, we plan for 6 months, maybe we could pull off some Hillsong level stuff. I got some talented people here. Maybe if I push it, I could do it.
Right.
But other than being a good performance, it's not going to connect with anyone. Honestly, I'd probably have a better time connecting with a lot of people if we did an old school hymn sing. And it's just recognizing what our culture is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With that church I previously did, it took me the full 2 years to realize that it was a town that's literally 50-50 split between African American and Caucasian. It took me almost the whole 2 years I was there to realize that the African American community just wanted like big band, but old school worship.
Right.
Because that's what they grew up on. It's like, oh, I got to do Lecrae and all this kind of stuff, thinking they loved hip hop. But when they entered those church doors, they wanted to belt out Amazing Grace for all they're worth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you have to learn your culture. And I feel like I'm beating the drum saying Hillsong, but they're the ones we all know have the biggest performance when it comes to a holiday. You want to look at them and do that, but you're going to fall flat on your face most of the time, either by you can't reach that level or it doesn't connect with your culture. They might like the CDs, they might like the radio, but they're not coming to their home church for that. They're coming for something different, and you got to recognize it. Mm-hmm. For us, how we recognize what our culture is, and it's the weirdest thing. We have 6 bars in this town. We go to our bars all the time to figure out what our culture is. Hmm. You can figure out, all right, this is what our aesthetic is. This is what people want to talk about. This is what the feel of our community is. And it gets us a good scope of knowing where we should hit. And it makes for interesting conversations, especially around worship, because we're like, we have our older generation still in the church that wants the hymns. And we're like, well, everyone around here listens to country radio. So we need to hit a country sound, because mm-hmm. that's the musical language everybody here wants.
That's really cool. All right. So one final question for you. If you were to give one piece of advice to church communicators about Easter, what would it be?
The biggest piece of advice I'd give is realize your biggest goal when you're doing your outreach focus for Easter is to realize you want them to come back the following Sunday and the Sunday after that. So you might think, I need to go all in, and you get them back that first Sunday. Mm-hmm. But when that next Sunday isn't as all in, you just made a huge turnoff, because you just gave a fake selling point to them. You got to push the gospel above everything else. So yeah, maybe we're doing a little more because it's Easter, but make sure that little more isn't so much that it betrays you the next Sunday.
Right.
Because next Sunday's still happening.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. You can join Matthew and me tomorrow at 12:30 in the Church Juice Facebook group for a live discussion, and we will continue this conversation. So I will see you then.
After the break, we're going to give some practical tools and resources to make the most of your Easter service. But first, it's time to take a listener question.
We love getting questions from listeners, so keep them coming. If you've got a question to ask, head over to churchjuice.com/podcast and click the Ask a Question button.
So this question comes from Will in the Facebook group. He asks, how can we convince our aging congregation to accept more modern branding and building updates? Dun, 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 dun. That's a great question.
What do you think?
I think that you should answer the question. I'm just kidding. No, just kidding. I have seen this as a struggle with the liturgy and with the musical aspects of the gathering, specifically with sound and with worship style and music. You know, is the organ or is the piano the only sacred object on the stage in a Sunday? You know, I've engaged in those different conversations in churches and kind of had to come alongside people that are more traditional in their liturgical approach and musical approach. So that's kind of where I've tackled this question. And I guess you kind of could keep this in a branding environment as a whole because you're kind of consistent messaging, consistent style all the way across communications throughout the church. So I guess that's where my experience has been with this whole old school versus new school kind of conversation.
And I think Will's question, I'm guessing, is probably when he mentions branding, he's probably thinking logo and look and feel. But it's important to remember that branding is your identity. So things like the music make a difference, or what your logo looks like, or your messaging, all of that is part of your brand. And so first, I would say know your congregation well enough to be able to implement change like that. And second, I would say make changes slowly. So if you have an aging congregation, which a lot of churches do, updating or changing your brand, your identity, or updating the building, renovating, whatever that looks like, needs to be done slowly. And you need to know your congregation well enough to inform them, to get them on board, and just try to make them part of the process too. When they feel an ownership of any change that's happening, it's going to go easier. So I think just kind of keeping those things in mind as you do that will help you update the brand and update your building, or just becoming more modern as a church and as a congregation.
If you have a question you'd like us to discuss, head over to churchjuice.com/podcast and click Ask a Question.
All right, so circling back to the topic at hand, I know that I've been in a lot of churches or seen different churches that will go all out on Easter. Some of the churches that I've either observed or even been in have, on Easter Sunday, they'll go above and beyond whatever they do the rest of the year. But then that following Sunday after Easter, when people come back, and I think this is kind of what Matthew was getting at, is when they come back that following Sunday, it's back to the normal and people are completely turned off because it's not what they experienced the week before. So for our church, for a lot of the churches that are listening, one of the main things that I got away from Matthew's interview and his conversation was, it's okay to up the game, but make sure that you're not being something completely different, right?
Definitely, yeah. I would say, and I think that seems to be a key theme that we've had in all of our conversations, is just knowing who you are as a congregation, knowing what your context is and where you're at. Like Matthew talked about, you know, we're a rural church. We have a lot of farmers and construction workers, and they listen to country radio. And so they like certain things. They like what they like. And so recognizing that and trying to appreciate that and appreciate them and serve them well. And so you want to design your service, cater your service to the people that are going to be attending. And then I also agree with just stressing the importance of follow-up. You just don't want to create an environment. You don't want to create a service that looks different than every other week.
Yeah, and I think another point that he made was knowing your community well enough to know what they expect or what they want. So a previous church that he mentioned was half African-American, half white. So what they want out of worship or what they want out of a Sunday service looks probably pretty different than where he's at now in a town of 600 people, right? So Yes. Knowing your community allows you to serve them better and figure out what they want or what would attract them to your church better. So finding ways to be involved in the community, or like he was talking about how they adopted their elementary school, finding ways that you can just be involved in the community in ways outside the box sometimes too, you know, finding out what people are interested in or what they're looking for and going with that.
Yeah, you know, I think about even that first question you asked him about his favorite Easter memory being one that didn't work out so well for him. And I mean, you just think about like the idea of what happens if that whole event would have worked out perfectly. You know, what happens if they would have had the six drummers, the Hillsong atmosphere, and it just would have been perfect from a musical standpoint. But even that would have just missed the mark, because probably half the people in their service wouldn't even have known who Hillsong was.
Yeah.
And wouldn't have even really probably even musically appreciated it as much as Matthew and his team did, because that wasn't what they were coming to church for anyway.
Right. Yeah, and I think the opposite rings true in mega churches or in large churches. So in next week's episode, when we talk with John, who's the communication director at a multi-site mega church in West Michigan, you know, they also don't go all out on Easter. And so maybe it's a cultural shift that's happening. I don't know. But being more authentic and genuine, you know, like we've said previously, I think is a good move for the church.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, thanks for listening to today's episode. Make sure you check us out and check out today's show notes, and be sure to join us in the Facebook group tomorrow as we continue the discussion.
Join us next week when we talk with John Ackerman, who is the communications director at Ada Bible Church, and why they don't promote Easter.
Church Juice Podcast is available wherever you are. Subscribe from your favorite podcast service. Find the podcast on your Alexa device, or follow along on our website.
Get the latest resources, podcast information, and subscribe to our emails all on our website. Visit churchjuice.com to get the latest church communication resources.
Church Juice Podcast is a production of Reframe Media, a family of programs designed to help you see your whole family reframed by God's gospel story. Church Juice is produced by Brian Haley, with post-production by audio engineer John Reeder in Grand Rapids, Michigan. For more information about Church Juice, visit us at churchjuice.com. For information on Reframe Media and our family of programs, visit reframemedia.com.